God grants salvation by grace through faith. So the foundation of our pure hearts is 100% Christ. But what the Bible also teaches is although the initial work of our salvation is 100% Christ, the sanctification of our lives, the ongoing work of our lives in Christ from our salvation or justification is Christ and us.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. We're glad that you have tuned us in here today on this Friday. We're so thankful for you to be a part of this audience. We're super thankful as well for the many words of encouragement that we have received from you folks, either by phone or by email. And most importantly, we are so thankful for your prayers as this ministry gets off to a brand new year here. Well, we're in the middle of a very foundational series that you've joined us for today. It's called Healthy Heart, and it's really biblical counseling on the heart. In fact, we believe that if you get this biblical teaching, your heart will never be the same. Now, we've said heart several times, but really, as we've walked through this series, we've seen that when God's word speaks of heart, it speaks of the mind, of the affections, and the will. And as God gets a hold of those in our lives, we're seeing massive change come through it. Well, if you see massive change in your life, or if you're greatly encouraged by this series, just a reminder, you can get a copy of the entire series at our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, Robbie's with me in studio today, and Robbie, we're going back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, a famous passage, blessed are the pure in heart, right?
We are, and maybe just a special focus and a special prayer for our listeners today because of what you just said, Craig, because of the importance and the foundational study of the topic of the heart, because you're right. If the Lord has our heart, man, everything begins to change. And so that's, again, he's calling out for it, loved ones. He's calling for your heart and my heart today. And then the question is, will we respond? Will we give it to him? Because when he has it, blessing is seen. Life's not easier. It's just so much better when God is fully in the driver's seat and has such beautiful control over our lives. May your heart be pure that you may see him in ways maybe you've never known before. Go, Lord. Go, Lord.
All right. Well, a healthy heart is a pure heart. With our Bibles open to Matthew chapter 5, here again is Pastor Robbie.
But what the Bible also teaches is although the initial work of our salvation is 100% Christ, the sanctification of our lives, the ongoing work of our lives in Christ from our salvation or justification is Christ and us. So you can never save yourself. Only by grace through faith. But once you are saved by the grace of God, you are to take that salvation, to take that justification, to take that purity of heart now, and you are to now seek God with all your heart to increase the purity of your life and to decrease the effect of sin that seeks to damage your soul. Only crystal clear on that. And here's what we see what God is calling us to. Realize the beauty of your salvation and then be spurred on towards greater purity because of what Christ has done for you. Let's continue to unpack this phrase. The pure heart is undefiled. It means it's an undefiled heart, but also this, the pure heart is undivided. The pure heart. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he means that is the heart that is undivided. Behind the phrase pure in heart means without hypocrisy. So the pure in heart are not hypocrites. It also carries the word of being single, a singleness. So what's the problem with a hypocrite? The problem with a hypocrite is that he's two people. A hypocrite is divided internally. The hypocrite is not pure. So the pure in heart is the single-minded heart. The pure in heart carries an undivided devotion. So ladies, you know when you're trying to talk to your husbands and they're watching TV and you get about like a paragraph in and your husband looks at you and goes, huh? Right? Now, I'm not questioning your husband's love for you in that moment, but I am questioning your husband's undivided devotion to you in that moment, right? Now, that principle does not translate well into the Christian life. And Jesus is not okay with you at times going, huh? What'd you say, Jesus? He's not okay with that, like ever. Jesus is not good. Like, okay, you get your 50 and I got my 50. We talked about that already. Jesus is not good. That will never go well. The fruit of your spirit, of the spirit in your life is not like, okay, let's just bargain here for a little bit, Jesus, and let's see what can come up with. That's not the fruit of God's spirit. Listen. If you are trying to be Jesus, that's yours and this is mine, your heart's impure. That is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the undefiled in heart. Blessed are the undivided in devotion. I'm not saying you have to be all there in the sense of like, I've arrived. No one's arrived in that sense, but you long to be is what the pure heart longs for. The pure heart gets this, says amen to it, and wants to pursue it. Remember, Jesus here, one of the reasons he emphasized the heart so much in his teachings, because he directly wanted to confront the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were hypocrites. The Pharisees were religious leaders that were externally, ritually motivated. They were pride-fueled. They were legalistic hypocrites. But people looked to them, people followed them, and people were afraid of them. In comes Jesus when he begins his ministry, cracks open a spiritual hand grenade, throws it right into the middle of the Pharisees and blows up their whole system. And he says to them, he says, I'm not looking for whitewashed tombs, man. He's like, I want the heart. You guys in all your games and all your charades, he's like, enough with that. He says, I want the heart. Turn with me to Matthew 23 for a second. Keep a finger in Matthew 5. Turn with me to Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, when Jesus is severely rebuking, and this is such a powerful chapter, Matthew 23, verse 25. Jesus has just gone off on the Pharisees for a while here now. Verse 25. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, exclamation mark. Do you think he said that quietly? Doubt it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. What is Jesus going for? Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful. How many people play that game? They care about the external, how they're seen, how they look, how they talk, how they act, just for the image. And the outside, they appear beautiful, but Jesus brilliantly says, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Serious words from our Savior here. Serious words. Notice Jesus says here, he says, it's the transformation on the inside that genuinely transforms the outside. No question here, loved ones, the devotion of the heart that's pure will be undivided. It's not talk, it's not acting, it's not self-motivated, it's for Jesus Christ. What I want to do in this message right now, we talk about the pure heart, we talk about the impure heart. I want to get very practical. This message deserves it. This message calls for it because a lot of us are saying, okay, am I on the right track? Is my heart pure? Am I way off? Well, let's find out. Here's how we find out. Here are 7 signs of the impure heart. 7 signs that you might have an impure heart. And then we're moving on to 7 signs of a pure heart. So we've got a bunch of stuff to get through here, but it's important to me that we do this. First sign of the impure heart is this. There's 7 eyes. First one is this, is that the impure heart is the ignorant heart. It's the ignorant heart. And the reason it's ignorant to the reality of sin or even Jesus himself. The ignorant heart isn't aware of the devastation of their sin. It's the people who be like, oh, sin, what's the big deal about sin? So what about sin? I don't have a problem with sin. That's the ignorant heart, man. That's the heart that's impure, the heart that doesn't understand. If you're here right now and you don't think sin's a problem, you just don't get it. It's a sign that the heart's impure, or people who don't know about Christ or don't care about Christ. They don't understand that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's a fact of ignorance. That's a heart that's impure. Here's the second sign. Impure heart is the indifferent heart. The heart that's indifferent. This is the heart that sees no need for purity. This is the heart that, frankly, if you're honest, you're like, yeah, I don't really care. I don't care what you say, dude, about my heart or where it's at, where it's not. I don't care. Just going about my life. I'm going to live it my way. Stop talking to me. It's the indifferent heart. Indifference is a sign of impurity. Here's the third sign of impure heart. The ignoble heart. The ignoble heart is really the evil heart that delights in sin. This heart delights in sin. This heart makes provision for sin. This heart sits down and plans on how to sin more. This heart entertains and enjoys sin. Be very careful, loved ones, right? If you find yourself making calculated decisions on how to sin, watch out. Watch out. If you find yourself making calculated decisions on, I'm going to talk to this person at this time, to talk about that person, to gossip about this person, that's wicked. If you find yourself making decisions at this time when all the people leave my house and I'm alone and I have a chance now to do things I would never do otherwise when no one is there and I'm by myself and I won't be seen, and you are planning your days around times when you can sit in ways, that's wicked. That's impurity. If you are actually making plans of how you can produce more greed and cheat in different areas of your life and live that double life, that's the ignoble heart, man. That's the impure heart. Here's the fourth thing. The impure heart is the irreverent heart. The irreverent heart. This heart takes God very casually. There's no fear of God. It's just, yeah, you know, I'll do it when I get around to it. I know what God says, but you know, it doesn't really matter, does it? And one of the greatest things our church lacks, church in this nation, is the fear of God. It's a holy reverence for his holiness. You don't think about his holiness very much. You don't think about his grandeur, how awesome he is, and just kind of reflect in adoring him and contemplating just his majesty. That can be a sign of irreverence. It's the person also, there's so many different examples of this, but you can look at the scriptures and you're walking around with unforgiveness in your life, and you read the scriptures where God says, if you don't forgive that person, I'm not going to forgive you, and you don't really care. That's just blatantly disobeying what he says, that you don't really think God's going to do what he says he's going to do. That can be a sign of irreverence. That's a sign of impurity. Number five, the impure heart is the incredulous heart. The incredulous heart is the unbelieving heart. Do you know this, loved ones, that doubt is impurity. Faith is so important to God. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So doubt isn't just, well, you know, I'm not really sure. Doubt is actually a sign of impurity because we're not taking God at his word. So we're choosing to trust ourselves or someone else or something else over God. You got to see doubt for what it is. Doubt is impurity. The incredulous heart is a sign of an impure heart. Here's number six. The impure heart is the idolatrous heart. The idolatrous heart. Another word for this could be the covetous heart. Covetousness is a huge deal. So if you find yourself having feelings of jealousy a lot, do you find yourself comparing yourself to other people a lot? You have the sense of envy a lot. You know, it's amazing. Again, the single greatest sin that I see among the Pharisees was pride through envy. It's astounding to me. Pilate looked upon them and said, it says in the Gospels that Pilate saw it was out of the envy of their hearts that they wanted to kill Jesus. It's always amazing to me, the power of envy. It says, you want to grieve the Spirit of God? It says in Galatians 5, it says then, become conceited and provoke one another, comparing yourselves to other people. It's a big deal to God, man. Covetousness is, I want what she has. I'm jealous of who she is. I need to have or be who they are. If you're thinking about this stuff a lot and you got people, even right now, I could say envy and you compare yourself and you got someone in your mind right now. You got to deal with that. I got to deal with that. Because that's a sign of impurity. And of course, the covetousness just for, I must have ABC. I long for XYZ. I must accumulate ABC. It's a sign that impurity has taken root. It's a thing that Jesus wants to kill in your life. Another thing with idolatrous heart is that if you're discontent, you're not content with where you are. You're just not happy with what God has placed in your life, that he hasn't done enough, his grace isn't sufficient. That's impurity. Seventh thing is this, the impure heart is finally this, the ill-willed heart. The impure heart is the ill-willed heart. That's where a heart that openly scoffs at purity, openly rejects it, saying, yeah, I know what God says, but I could care less. Forget that, man. Forget what God says. Forget purity. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to rebel against it. That's obviously a sign of impurity, and that we'll call that the ill-willed heart. Those are the seven signs of the impure heart. Let's move on to some good news, though. Here are some seven signs of the pure heart now. I want to take the time because I want to allow the Spirit to do what he can do as we go through this very practically. Here's seven signs of a pure heart. We'll move quickly. Number one is this. The pure heart is the sincere heart. And by sincere heart, I mean you're wholehearted towards Christ. It's everything Christ wants from you, a wholehearted devotion. You're authentically pursuing him with an undivided heart. Secondly, the pure heart does this. This is a great thing. It longs for purity. So one of the great signs your heart is becoming more healthy is that you are increasingly longing for purity. You think about purity. You are breathing after God's Spirit for purity. You are disgusted when you're not there. You want purity. The pure heart wants more purity. The pure heart never arrives at this again till heaven. The pure heart longs for more purity. That's a great sign that you are having a pure heart. Number three, the pure heart does this, hates sin. The pure heart hates sin. Do you have an abhorrence for sin? Like when you mess up and you sin, do you get up and just like, man, I'm never doing that again? That's a good sign. Like you hate it when you fall. You hate it when you see the reality of that you've sinned against God. You're like David, Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned, oh God. It's not a worldly sorrow where, oh, I'm sorry that my life isn't working out now because I want to be. It's like, God, I've sinned against you. I have grieved God. I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I have brought on affliction on my own self because I haven't hated my sin and I want to hate it more. That's a good sign, man. Your heart's becoming pure. You are disgusted with the filth of sin. Fourth sign is this. A pure heart avoids the appearances of evil. So not only does the pure heart hate sin, it actually hates even the appearances of evil, or you seek to avoid the appearances of evil altogether. See, the pure heart knows that sometimes for the outsider, perception can be reality. And so you care about that, right? Like, you know, it's amazing to me at times you have couples who try to justify living together before they're married and saying, oh, well, we're not, you know, sharing the same bed and stuff. Whatever, man. Like even the fact that you are doing something that's totally reserved for marriage, becoming one flesh in one home as a couple, even the people outside, they're just assuming you are married. See, even that right there is that you don't care about the appearances of evil because you can't control what people think. And there's no difference between you and a married couple. That's a problem. Don't rationalize sin. Have a pure heart and seek to even avoid the appearances of evil. Pure heart does this. Number five, it loves holiness. It loves holiness. You would identify with Psalm 24, verse 4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Yeah. That's who will find the holy place of God. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The pure heart loves holiness and goes for holiness in your life. Number six, the pure heart lives the life. So the pure heart doesn't just talk about it. The pure heart doesn't just think about it. The pure heart lives it. Again, you're not rationalizing sin. You're living it out. That's what the pure heart does, man. It takes the plan, it puts it into action. And here's the seventh thing then. The pure heart is the undeterred heart. Or the pure heart is the determined heart. The determined to say, the purity of my life in Christ, this is my call, this is my mission, this is my life. No hypocrisy, I'm going for it. The pure heart is determined to see this through in your life. Again, as we move on, I'll make crystal clear, okay? Some of these things you might take and say, I just gotta go home and try harder. Well, the foundation of the pure heart is all Jesus Christ. And then from then on, it's his grace and your desire to respond in obedience. The single greatest way you find this stuff happening in your life for the good is surrender and repentance. Repent of sin and surrender to him. One of the most helpful phrases I find myself saying all the time now, when I'm tempted with sin or tempted for things outside of, or tempted with an impure heart, I love saying this to God openly out loud. I'll say it. I say, God, whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. I say that so many times every day. You know what I'm really saying? I'm saying, God, your will be done. Your will be done. It helps me, man. It helps me. I preach to myself, whatever you want, Lord. And instantly it seems like the temptation for my flesh seems to be broken down as I surrender again to God, your will be done. Not mine. Not mine. All right, you want a pure heart? Here's the third thing, and here's our final thing. Here's what I must understand, that the goal of my heart is undying. The goal of my heart is undying. You say, what's the goal of my heart? But see, that's just it. The pure heart already knows the goal. The pure heart knows the goal, whether it's subconscious, but this is what you're living for. This is the purpose. This is the vision. This is the longing of the pure heart to achieve the goal. What's the goal? What is the goal? It's right there in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's the goal, loved ones. The pure heart desires to see the Lord. Again, Revelation 21, so stirred by this chapter, I sat down, I read it slowly, describing the New Jerusalem. Pretty powerful chapter. I read it slowly enough. I was turned over in my heart for the vision of what awaits me. I was so kind of impacted by it. I went and I read it to my boys as they went to bed in their bunk beds there. And I say to boys, I got a Bible story for you tonight, all right? And I opened it up and I began to speak of the New Jerusalem and speak of the heavenly city. And I got to tell you, I got a little bit fired up as I kept going, you know what I mean? I went from kind of telling to preaching, you know, my poor boys, eh? My poor boys. And they're looking at me like, what are you doing, Dad? You know what I mean? But anyway, I got going. I'm like, don't you get it, man? Don't you get it? And a few phrases from Revelation 21 stuck out to me big time, man. A few phrases where it says this, where God says, I will be his God and he will be my son. Boys, did you hear that? Did you hear that? God says, if you're saved in Christ, God will say, I will be their God and he will be my son. Aiden, you can be that guy standing there where God is your God and you will be his son, man. That's a vision. That's a vision for your life. And then they go on to say, and John with the angel who wrote Revelation, he says, Come, I want to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, I want to show you the bride, the wife. Who's that? It's the church. It's us in the New Jerusalem. Come see the bride and the wife, the marriage fulfilled in heaven, the wife of the Lamb. That is amazing. That is amazing. Which is what awaits the person saved in Christ. And then it goes on to say, but there's no temple in this New Jerusalem because the Lord Almighty is the temple and the Lamb is the temple. And then it says there's no need for sun or moon to shine. I said, boys, do you know why? One of my sons did, bless his heart. He says, because God's glory is the light. Amen. That's right. This is the new Jerusalem and the heavenly city. This is the vision. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, and heaven is the perfect fulfillment of us seeing God. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God, ultimately that is fulfilled in heaven. But the brilliance and the blessing of God in our lives now is that's fulfilled perfectly in heaven, but it's supposed to be partially fulfilled now. God doesn't leave it all for then. We get to see some of it even now. That's why as I say these things, some of your hearts beat a little bit faster as you hear about the New Jerusalem, because you want to see God and you are seeing God in some form. Even as I say that, your affections are stirred, your minds are renewed. And if you're like me, you're called to pursue then God with greater effort, because as you see your salvation realized, it affects your sanctification even now where you are today. That's the way it's supposed to work, because your heart longs to be pure and the pure in heart shall see God. You getting it? Are you getting it? You see, when you realize eternity, it affects what's happening here and now. That's why the pure in heart, when they see a sunset, They don't just take a picture and say, that's cool. They take a picture and say, that's my God. They worship at the beauty of creation because they see God. That's why the pure in heart, when springtime comes and the explosion from the earth and all the incredible things that happen as trees buds and flowers bloom, you look there and you say, this is my God. There he is again. You're not just seeing nature. You're seeing your God in action. You worship. That's why the pure in heart, when they get run over, so to speak, or overlooked or forgotten, or they are humbled, they're okay. Because if it means that God gets more glory, praise the Lord. That's why the pure in heart, they're not concerned about heavenly treasures. The pure in heart, or they want heavenly treasures. They're not concerned with earthly treasures. One of the great tests of your heart is becoming more pure, then you care less and less for earthly treasures. You are less and less bound by the greed of this world. And you are more and more resolved to pursue that which is treasures in heaven. That's why the pure in heart see their sin as death and see life in Christ as life in Christ. That's why the pure in heart, they long for God's presence. That's why the pure in heart see the blessings of trials. That's why the pure in heart see the brevity of this life. That's why the pure in heart see history as his story. Because the pure in heart, loved ones, shall see God. The pure in heart, it will affect every vision they have in this life because they are so aware of what's coming and what Christ has done that everything they begin to look at changes the filters and the lens which they see through. That is an exciting way to live. Here's what the pure in heart know. The pure in heart know there is no such thing as a boring, mundane day in the kingdom of God. Okay, listen. If you're bored with your Christian life, God's not the problem. All right? It's not God's problem. Your problem. There is no such thing as a mundane day in the kingdom of God. The problem is your vision's off. Because blessed are the pure in heart, man. They shall see God. The moment you truly see Jesus Christ for who he is the moment you're never the same again. Ever. It took me a long time to see this again, literally, but then spiritually. The moment I saw that Jesus Christ spiritually was the moment again, I would never be the same again. The moment you see the gospel, the moment you see your Savior die for you, the moment you see his righteousness becoming your own, the moment you see the empty tomb, the moment you see the hope of glory, the moment you see eternal life is yours, the moment you've seen that you've been adopted by God, you're secured forever, you see God as your heavenly Father, is the moment you cannot ever see life the same way again. Why? Because your hearts have been made pure. That means you shall see God. Loved ones, the phone's for you. It's God. He says he loves you, and he says he wants your heart. Not just part of your heart, he wants all of your heart. You gotta pick up the phone. You gotta give it to him.
Hey friends, we wanna take a moment to let you know about something that's super important to us here at Live in the Light. A very important day is fast approaching this December 3rd, and that day is Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday, the day following Cyber Monday, was created in 2012 as a simple idea, a day that encourages people to do good. Over the past 12 years, this idea has grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity by giving to charities, ministries, and causes that have impacted their lives. If you've been blessed by Living the Light this year, we ask that you prayerfully consider donating this year on Giving Tuesday. We are on the air each day thanks to support from listeners just like you. And our hope is to continue to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth here on our program. If our heart for ministry resonates with you, please give us a call this Giving Tuesday at 1-800-22-LIGHT or check out our website, liveinthelight.ca. Funds raised go directly to keeping Live in the Light on stations like this. And you can be confident that your financial support goes directly into the ministry. We are so grateful for you, listeners. Thanks for supporting us for another wonderful year here on Live in the Light.